from KDNK Community Access Radio in Carbondale, Colorado, in the United States. This is program number 50 of the Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. When blind people go places, we don't experience them like our sighted friends. We don't see beautiful mountains or romantic sunsets. The goal of this program is to identify and even create experiences that are more meaningful for us and our sighted traveling companions. Frequently, as people lose their eyesight, they become more and more isolated. The Tactile Traveler hopes to empower people not only to go literally around the world, but around the block to new adventures in their lives. Blind rangers from people who are visually impaired, and glasses and contact lenses no longer allow them to lead a normal life, to people like me, who are totally blind, to sighted parents who have a blind child, blind parents who have sighted children, and blind parents with blind children, and people of all ages, interests, and physical abilities. On today's program, the worldwide status of Charles-Bonnet syndrome. There are two things that can go along with becoming blind that never makes the plot in the movie. Non-24 day-night sleeping disorder, which affects sleeping patterns, and Charles-Bonnet syndrome, also called CBS, which only affects people who have gone blind or are losing their vision. People who are born blind don't experience CBS. Charles-Bonnet syndrome is when people who have lost their vision or are losing their vision see things that aren't there. It's the visual equivalent phantom limb syndrome. Charles-Bonnet syndrome was first identified by Swiss scientist Charles-Bonnet in 1761. When he was visiting his grandfather in England, who was developing cataracts, his grandfather told him he was seeing things he knew really weren't there. Some of the things people would see include cartoon characters, patterns, people with grossly distorted faces, people wearing historic clothing, like Victorian clothing, being enclosed by walls, and things like trees in the middle of a road when riding in cars. Even though Charles-Bonnet syndrome has been known for 263 years, since most doctors don't tell their patients that this is a normal part of vision loss, for many people, people who are experiencing it think they're going crazy and are afraid to tell anyone. But Judith Potts, who lives in London, finally did something about it about 8 years ago, when she created a Charles-Bonnet syndrome support system called Esme's Umbrella.
8 years ago now, but actually before that even, because the Esme of Esme's Umbrella was my mother. And she was a very independent lady in her early 90s, lived on her own, completed complex crossword puzzles every day for herself. And one day she said to me, "I do wish those people would get off my sofa." And of course, there was no one sitting on her sofa. And while I was thinking what on earth I should say to this, he said, "And there's a child dressed in Edwardian clothes who follows me everywhere, and a hideous gargoyle-like creature that jumps from table to chair, and sometimes the whole place morphs into an alien environment." Well, I had absolutely no idea what could be wrong with her. But I thought it can't be dementia, which of course was hanging in the air between us, because she's very bright and lucid and sane. So I left her, went away, and with the most enormous piece of luck, found a tiny paragraph buried in the health pages of one of our newspapers about a condition which develops when you lose sight. And I suddenly remembered my mother had glaucoma. And clearly she had lost more sight than I realized, because she was very good at compensating. And so I looked it up. I went to see the doctor, the only doctor in the world who knows about CBS, Professor Dominic Fitch at King's College in London. He told me about it. I began to write a column about it. And finally, he and I together decided we needed to do something more than that, because this is a very common condition in the UK, and you know how tiny the UK is. It is estimated there are at least 1 million people living with the vivid, silent visual hallucinations that are produced by Charles-Bonnet syndrome. So in 2015, at our Parliament building, I launched Esme's Umbrella as a campaign, and then 2 years ago, I turned it into a charity.
Judith's mother loved umbrellas. That's why she named her charity Esme's Umbrella. Judith not only tracked down the only person doing Charles-Bonnet syndrome research at the time, she's been sponsoring some of the research. Unfortunately, don't be surprised if you ask your optometrist or ophthalmologist about CBS and they put you off.
I'm afraid that they know what it is, but because they don't understand it and because they haven't taken the trouble to do any research, they'd rather not talk about it because they can't answer any of the questions.
You're listening to The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. Now, back to our story on how people with Charles-Bonnet syndrome are being helped worldwide. One of my neuro-ophthalmologists gave me a copy of everything in his medical journals about Charles-Bonnet syndrome, and it was only a page and a half. Even scarier, if you tell your family doctor about your visions, they might try to treat you for the wrong thing and prescribe medicine for you.
Over here, they're called things like omeprazole. I don't know what they're called in America. We know they make CBS worse. And there are various other indications that other medications do the same thing.
Judith says that there are some medicines that may help reduce vision.
Medication can be tried, but it's not CBS specific. It is for dementia or epilepsy. It doesn't mean the person has developed either of those conditions. It just means that it might help to diminish the hallucinations, but it has severe side effects of its own. So really, it's only recommended if those hallucinations are completely unbearable.
Judith says there are some things you can do that are free and free of side effects and always available.
Distraction technique, we think, are something that can help everybody. They have to find their own, but they are things like clapping your hands, clicking your fingers, reaching out towards the hallucination, something which uses a different pathway in the brain.
Judith says the best way to relieve anxiety from CBS is just to learn that you're not crazy, is meeting other people who experience CBS. A good way is through support groups.
They are very useful. I was invited to join one in the summer, and they had had 3 weeks holiday from the group. And I was on the call before anybody else joined. And every single person who joined said, "Thank goodness you're back. This is my lifeline."
One of my neuro-ophthalmologists describes Charles-Bonnet syndrome as that when you lose your vision, the part of your brain that interprets vision becomes bored and starts creating images. They're always silent, with one exception.
Charles-Bonnet syndrome is an incredibly common condition which happens because the brain is left with nothing to interpret. And so it fires up and creates the vivid, visual, silent, always silent hallucinations. It is not a mental health condition of any kind. If there are other senses involved, it's not Charles-Bonnet syndrome. There's only one exception to that, and that is if you hear choral music at the same time as seeing whatever it is you see, then you have the Charles-Bonnet syndrome aural type, which are called musical hallucinations. But you only hear choirs singing. It's very bizarre. It never matches up to what you're actually looking at. But it is a different condition, but you can have both at the same time. You can also have visual hallucinations caused by Parkinson's disease, by Lewy body dementia, other conditions at the same time as Charles-Bonnet syndrome. But Charles-Bonnet syndrome visual hallucinations are totally silent.
As a result of Judith Pott's efforts, England is probably the country where Charles-Bonnet syndrome is best understood. They have a national Charles-Bonnet syndrome support line operated by the Royal National Institute for Blind People. And they're about to have an important change for people who here in the United States would be considered legally blind.
In this country, I am one committee away from having a tick box put on a particular form that the eye doctor has to complete to say that someone is registered blind. And that tick box says Charles-Bonnet syndrome has been discussed with this patient. And that means they have to tell them about it.
Doctors can not only determine that a patient is registered blind or legally blind, there's a diagnosis of Charles-Bonnet syndrome accepted worldwide.
We did persuade the World Health Organization to include CBS in the new taxonomy of diseases and conditions, ICD-11, which they agreed to do. Unfortunately, they refused to remove the word temporary, because we know it happens to some people forever. But it is there, and it does mean it's a condition in its own right and not a side effect of sight loss.
CBS isn't only temporary for some people. I've had CBS for 8 years, and Tactile Traveler reporter Lydia Eckert has been experiencing it for 32 years. Everyone that has CBS doesn't necessarily see things that are scary or unpleasant. You're listening to the Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. Now, back to our story on how people with Charles-Bonnet syndrome are being helped worldwide. Scott Muradin, who started the Charles-Bonnet Syndrome Foundation in Melbourne, Australia, did a survey where he found that 15% of respondents said they enjoy their images. The Charles-Bonnet Foundation, like Esme's Umbrella, has a great webpage and support groups. Here in the United States, retired Louisville, Kentucky clinical psychologist Dr. Gary Cusick is counseling and supporting people with CBS.
I was a clinical psychologist for the state of Kentucky, working with folks who are blind and visually impaired, doing psychological assessments. And I had a young lady come in and talk to me one time saying she was seeing distorted faces and spider webs, and it was really bothering her. And I had no idea what to do with that. I mean, I knew it was Charles-Bonnet syndrome because I'd heard it mentioned a few times by my blind coworkers that were there, but I really didn't know anything about it. So I started looking into it a little bit more and found that there really wasn't anything in the U.S. as a resource for people. That's pretty much how it went. So I got a hold of Judith in London. We talked, and she suggested that she put me on as a referral source in the United States. Scott Muradin has been doing that also, and I think he might have learned about me from Judith as well. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of medical practitioners understand it, and some don't. Some may have heard of it before, but don't know it either. And that's probably because of the small number of people that would come across, you know, that would be seen in a, say, a family doctor's or an ophthalmologist. But first off, they have to be blind or visually impaired. That makes it about 2% of the U.S. population. And of those, maybe 1 in 3 will admit that they have Charles-Bonnet and say something about it. The others are worried. People are going to think they're psychotic. And quite often that happens where they'll be passed on to a psychiatrist who will put them on antipsychotic medications, which don't work. And the reason I'm saying that is not because I have a medical license. It's because that's what's in the medical literature.
Dr. Cusick who goes by Gary, does a whole lot of things to help folks experiencing CBS. One of them is a support group for both people who are experiencing CBS and their friends and families, with participants from all over the United States. And for a while, Mexico.
It gives people an opportunity to be heard, you know, to realize they're not the only ones that have this, that they are, in fact, normal. Other people are having similar experiences.
If you're not in Gary's support group, he's still there to help you.
And take phone calls from anybody who needs to talk about it, caregivers and people who have it themselves. 502-439-0398. So 502-439-0398.
In Canada, the CNID, which stands for Canadian National Institute for the Blind, a nonprofit foundation, provides blind services nationwide. CNIB program lead, Cia Ricardo, says every new client is screened for Charles-Bonnet syndrome during their first contact.
People often come in, first of all, through the referral to vision loss rehab. They have extensive intake process, and they're asked at that time, have you ever experienced Charles-Bonnet syndrome? Not all people come to us. Sometimes they come straight through to CNI and their doctors have never told them about Charles-Bonnet syndrome.
They have support groups, and the CNIB is conducting research on how to alleviate the symptoms of CBS and people's emotional reaction. And among other things, they teach people how to talk to doctors about Charles-Bonnet syndrome.
And unfortunately, there's a high percentage of family physicians who also do not know about Charles-Bonnet syndrome. So they're taken a little by surprise. Recommend that they, the person who experienced it, take a fact sheet, print something off from many sites that have information on Charles-Bonnet syndrome, and take that in to their physician.
You're listening to The Dactile Traveler, empowering blind and low-vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. And now, back to our story on how people around the world are helping people who have Charles-Bonnet syndrome. The Charles-Bonnet Syndrome Society in the island nation Trinidad and Tobago off the coast of Venezuela has found ways to make people more comfortable with CBS. For example, one of their group meetings was a barbecue, and they even had a Charles-Bonnet Syndrome poetry contest with a first prize of $5,000. A great way to let more people know about Charles-Bonnet syndrome. Poet Ayanna Phillips.
Don't fall carnally the lamb. Charles-Bonnet syndromes that attack our rooms wreak havoc in our homes. But CBS sees your true colors shining through. But she has been colorblind quite a while. My CBS, Charles-Bonnet syndrome, if you like to digress, brings such a test. Oh, what a mess. My family thinking I'm insane on the scene. I was impressed by all the fuss. Who could I trust? How do I adjust? It's a disease, a rare one to plead. These hallucinations have me down on my knees. Somebody, anybody, please. I need your expertise, even if I have to travel overseas. Do you see what I see? Said the mama bear to her baby boy. Do you see what I see? America, shadows in the night, I believe. I am losing my sight. I believe I'm losing my mind. I believe that I'm going blind. My CBS is a mess.
The Charles-Bonnet Syndrome Society was started by Sharon Faustin Holder.
I'm the founder of what is known as the Trinidad and Tobago Society for Charles-Bonnet Syndrome. How I came about getting to know about Charles-Bonnet Syndrome is actually my mother-in-law. She called out one day saying that she's seeing people in her house you know, these strange people, and she was really, really angry. But when we got down there, we realized that she was home alone. There was no one there.
Sharon says it happened again. Even though her mother-in-law, Tobago Marge, was then a 76-year-old woman, became blind from glaucoma and cataracts, was showing no signs of dementia. On April 20th, 2014, Marge opened the door to her refrigerator to get a glass of water. She observed a man sitting inside her freezer with his legs crossed and a grin on his face. Yelling at him, he jumped out and vanished, only for her to observe that workmen with forks in their hands were digging up her newly installed floor tiles. Marge turned towards them in an attempt to stop them, but instead unintentionally walked through an open window in her living room, falling 25 feet to the ground, suffering a broken leg and a broken right hand, nearly escaping death. When she found out that what Marge was experiencing was Charles-Binet syndrome, Sharon started the Charles-Binet Syndrome Society and now spends most of her time speaking to eye doctors in the media, spreading the word that Charles-Binet syndrome exists. And if you're experiencing it, you're sane and normal. There may be times when we need to advocate for ourselves. In those situations, you can tell doctors and others that CBS is an official medical diagnosis. Since too many doctors don't tell their patient that they may experience CBS, we need to. When I meet a new blind person, I always ask if they have Charles-Binet syndrome. If they say, "What's that?" I say, "It's when a person who is losing or lost their sight sees things that aren't there. People think they're going crazy and are afraid to tell anyone. But it's just a normal part of going blind for a lot of people." You're listening to The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low-vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. Why, it's my talking scale, reminding us that we'd like you to weigh in on how we're doing. Please let us know by sending an email to thetactiletraveler@gmail.com. We spell traveler the American way with one L. We'd also like to hear your story ideas from all over the world. Please send us an email with story ideas in the subject line to thetactiletraveler@gmail.com. Transcripts of this program are available for our deaf listeners by searching The Tactile Traveler in any search engine. This program's also being broadcast on Aftersight, formerly the Audio Information Network of Colorado, and audio information networks in additional states. It's also available by typing The Tactile Traveler into any search engine and available wherever you get podcasts. And by asking your smart speaker to play the podcast, The Tactile Traveler. We'd like to thank the following people and organizations that help make today's program possible. Be My Eyes Microsoft Accessibility Tech Support, Apple Accessibility Tech Support, Daniel Simon, Leslie Steffens, Pat Conneroe, Lorraine Hutchinson, Debbie O'Leary, Sarah Williams, Sophia Williams, Kaylee Romero, and Raleigh Burley. This has been The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low-vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. This has been a production of KDNK Community Access Radio, Carbondale, Colorado.